Be'ezras Hashem Yizburach, Hashem Kol Yisrael. We're going to need a lot of siyata d'shmaya on this one. A lot of Zohar, a lot of ideas. Kedarko b'kodesh. Very, very hard, but let's see. We'll squeeze out what we can. Okay, we're still in Bechoros, Daf Ches Amud Beis. The amazing Agadah of the philosophers of Athens and Rishua. So they said to him the following, Achve lan mana delo shave chavile. Show us, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Har enu kli, show us a mana. Mana is a vessel. Show me a vessel, show me an object. Delo shave chavile. Rashi says, She'enu shave hahefsid shuhu mafsid. Show me an example of an item that's not worth the damage it causes. And if you have a tool, if you have an instrument that causes more harm to your life than it's worth, then it's probably not a good object to have. So show us an item, show us a utensil, not worth the damage it causes. Okay. So Rabbi Yeshua took a reed mat. Pashtua, Aisu kolchad v'chad budya. Right, so they brought out, I guess he, you know, that they asked, they said, "What? Show us an example of an object that's not worth its damage."
Is the Athenians?
So,
the sages of Athens asked?
Yeah, that's what they asked. So Rabbi Yeshua brought out Yeshua said to them, I guess he told them, go get reed mats. So, Aisu kol chad v'chad budya. Each one brought a machatzelis, Rashi says, a reed mat. Okay. Pashtua, he unrolled the mat. Lohava ayil bisara, and he couldn't get it through the door. Right? It was the type of, you know, indoor, I guess, house mat, a carpet. Like, you try to get the carpet through the door when it's unrolled, right? You have, like, a big floor rug. So if you roll it up, you can get it through the front door. If you're holding it open, it's not going to fit through the door. So Amar Lahu, so he said to them, Aisu mara sisrua. He said, bring me a pickaxe, and then I'll break the door. I'll widen the door, and then I'll be able to get the rug, the mat, into the house. Rabbi Yeshua said, "Hainu mana delo shavu chavile." That's an example of an object that's not worth its damage. It's not worth breaking your house. Right? Seemingly, it wouldn't be worth it to break the house in order to break the front door in order to get the. So obviously, the normal thing to do would be to roll it up. Roll it up, and then he'll be able to get it through the door. But he said, if you take a mat and you stretch it out, and the only way to get it into the house would be to take a pickaxe and to break or to widen the door, that's an example. That mat, when it's unrolled, is an example of a utensil that's not worth its damage. All right? That's the Gemara. Let me tell you bekitzer, very bekitzer, the punchline. And then we'll try to dissect it. Essentially, the Romans are saying to Rabbi Yeshua, how is it possible that Eretz Yisrael, which is the Jewish homeland, a place of unbelievable holiness, how is it possible, as it says in this week's parsha, that the land will vomit out anyone who is not worthy of the land? So the Romans asked the following kasha, we came to Eretz Yisrael, we kicked you out, and we spread out. So apparently you're not worthy of the land. By your standards, you've been removed from the land. And the shaila then is, but we're in the land. So why is God letting us stay in the land? Would it be worth it to take us out of the land, to take the Jewish people out of the land to replace them with someone of lesser value? Oh, so the Roman says, oh, if Hashem let us stay in the land, it must be that we're of greater value. Right? It wouldn't be worth it to keep a utensil, to take an object into your home that causes more damage than it's worth. So if Hashem, if God threw you out of the land of Israel and allowed us to come to the land, to destroy the temple, destroy Bayis Sheni, and to conquer the land, it must be that we're more valuable than you are. That was their basic claim. And Yeshua's answer is that, no, you have to understand. Hashem is using you as a tool to kick us out of the land, so that we could feel the pain of our averos, Look what we did. We lost Eretz Yisrael. And that's going to inspire us to do tshuva. And then we're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael with greater tshuva. And you'll have just been a tool, right, to improve our state in the land. In other words, we become complacent in the land. We do averos, and we don't realize that our averos matter. So Hashem kicks us out, puts the Romans in. The Romans think, oh, look, God likes us better. God doesn't like you better. God's just using you to inspire the Jewish people to do tshuva, so that they can return to the land with even greater righteousness and greater holiness. That's sort of the sugya, but there's a lot more to it. Okay, so let's look inside. Let's try to go through. Let's see what we can uncover. Okay, let's see. Bir Hagra. Omri le achvelon mana de lo shave lechavile. Show me an item. All right, they said, show us an item that's not worth its damage. What does that mean? Ki agolus shel Yisrael bavur maseyem she'in sovel artzam. The gullus of the Jewish people is caused by our actions that the land is not sovel us. The land will not bear us. Kamo shenemar eretz nidahi. The land has become defiled. V'sha'aluhu al zeh. So they asked Rabbi Yeshua regarding this. Heichatem omrim sha'atem am krovo af begolus yoser. How can you claim, if God threw you out of the house, if the parent threw you out of the house, how can you say, oh, mom loves me best, mom and dad love me best, they threw me out of the house, but I'm their favorite child. How can that be? The one who they pull close is the one who they love. So how could it be, how do you Jews claim, that you're the close one to Hashem, even in Galus? How is that possible? How could it be that Yaakov got kicked out of the house, and Esav has inherited your place? If in fact you hold that Esav is worse, Halohim Gurum Yosem Mikem. According to your claim, we're much worse than you. But the rule is that the land doesn't keep people who are bad. So why did you get kicked out and we got pulled in? Ki ein hatzar shova b'neza kamelech, quoting the pasuk in Megillas Esther, right? That the damage is not worth the gain. In other words, Haman says to Achashverosh, keeping the Jewish people, whatever little bit of gain you get from them, it's not worth it because their troubles outweigh their value. So in other words, if Hashem really thought the Romans were so bad, so why did Hashem invite us into the house? How could that be? Okay, second paragraph. So he brought a budya, right? According to the Gruz Girsa presented here, Rabbi Yeshua brought out the mat, or maybe the way the Gemara says it, maybe he asked them to bring out the mats. Pashtua, he unrolled it. Lo hava ayil betara, it didn't fit through the gate, through the door. Amar lehu, aisu mara, so he said, bring me a pickaxe, sasro, he broke down the door. Hainu mana de lo shave lechavle. This is an example of an object that wasn't worth it, because I had to break the house in order to, so what does that mean? V'chein hu, says the Gra, and so it is. Af she'esav eno kedai. In other words, you're a much bigger problem. You're spreading out is an even bigger problem. We're going to have to break the house in order to what? In order to get the mat, you know, through the door, so to speak. So in answer to your question, how could it be that God brought someone worse into the house? You're much worse. But you know what happens because of you? We have to break the door. On the surface, that's a terrible thing, breaking the door. To damage my house, to get a rug through the door? That's silly, just roll up the rug. Why did Hashem allow them to spread out over the land of Israel, which causes us to break the door? However, the secret of breaking the door is finding new pathways to Hashem. That's the idea. That's the mark. That through the Roman dominion in Eretz Yisrael, they were just being used as a tool for us to want to what? To break out new pathways in Avodas Hashem. And to get closer to Hashem by taking a different door. Okay, we'll see what that means. So even though, says the Gra on the bottom line, the first column, Af she'esav eno kedai, mikol makom b'shvil lemarek avonoseinu hoshiv osam. Hashem placed them there to what? Lemarek avonoseinu, to cleanse us of our sins, to bring us to the tshuva process. Esav, you're just a tool to bring us to the tshuva process. Okay. And therefore, he quotes in the next paragraph, he quotes the psukim, in Devarim Parak Tes, where it says, be careful. Don't say, when Hashem brings you to the land, that Hashem brought you to the land because of your tzidkus. It's not because of your tzidkus, it's because of the rishus of the Gayim, And essentially, the Gra is explaining that what? You have to realize, have a little humility when you come back to the land. Even though you came back to the land through your tshuva, but your tshuva was only in response to your initial averos. But realize, again, the message is, to the Romans, you think, what, you got the land because you're better than us? No, Hashem is using you as a tool to bring us, to cleanse us of our averos. And even though it may take a little bit of breaking the door, which again, on the surface is terrible, right? But in the end, you get a wider door. And we'll see what that wider door represents. Okay? Let's jump to the top of the next page, Ayin Tes. V'inyan HaBudya. Okay? Next paragraph on Ayin Tes. I'd have to jump and move a little bit to get through the piece, but to get the big picture, it's Kedai. V'inyan HaBudya, the inyan of this mat, Shehu Machatzeles Shokonim, which means a mat made out of konim. Konim are reeds. All right, we'll have to see what reeds have to do with Rome and Esav and Edom. She'inu yachol lichanes bepesach b'knei hakonim, that it's not able to get through the door because of the reeds. Doesn't fit. Kamo she'amru b'perak arvei psachim. The Gemara tells us in the end of Mesachas Psachim, v'od asida mitzrayim she'tovi doron l'mashiach. Mitzrayim is going to come and try to bring a gift to Mashiach. And when the gift is accepted by Mashiach, Nasa Malchus Romi Harisha Kalvachomer Ba'atzma. Rome, which again is Esav, Edom, is going to make the following Kalvachomer. If the Egyptians, who were the enemies of the Jews, were able to bring a gift to Mashiach and Mashiach accepted it, so Esav says, Edom, Rome says, hey, we're brothers. Right? We're twins. Esav, Yaakov, we go together. Right? So Rome is going to say, all the more so, we could bring a gift to Mashiach. Amarlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, is the Gemara in Pesachim, Hashem says to the Malach Gavriel, Ge'ar Chayas Kone. Rebuke the Chayas Kone. Rebuke the beast of the Kone, of the reeds. Who's the beast of the reeds? Who's the beast of the marshlands where the reeds grow? Who's that talking about? Shedora bein hakonim, the one who dwells among the konim, among the reeds. Who's that talking about? And why is Gavriel sent to put Rome in their place? When Mashiach comes, even Mitzrayim is going to bring a present, and Mashiach's going to accept. All of a sudden, Esav is going to show up. The descendants of Esav is going to show up and say, hey, we're cousins. We? And Hashem says to the Malach Gavriel, put Rome, put Edom in its place. Put Western culture in its place. Looked so dominant for so long. Destroyed by his Shani. 2,000 years of Gullus. That's where we are today. Put Rome in its place. What does that mean? V'inyan ga'ar chayas kona v'amira dafka l'gavriel. What does it mean to rebuke the chayas kona? Who is this chayas kona? Who is this chayas kona? What does it mean that the rebuke should come by way of the Malach Gavriel? Kamosha amru. This is reminiscent of a Gemara in Shabbos. Bisha'a shenasa Shlomo as Bas Paro, when Shlomo married Bas Paro, which was a terrible avera, Na'atz Gavriel kona beyam va'ala bo sirton. The Malach Gavriel was sent down from the heavens, and he was told to stick a reed into the ocean, va'ala bo sirton, and the sandbanks built up around it, va'alav nivna krach gadol shel Romi. And that's where Vatican City comes from. That's where the big city of Rome comes from. It comes from that moment where Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paro, and the Malach Gavriel came and stuck a reed in the ground. Because when Shlomo did that, Hashem said, okay, I'm so upset that I'm going to give great authority, great power to Krach Gadol, the big city of Rome. I'm going to empower Rome in that moment. Wow. So now at the end of days, when the Jewish people finally get back on top, and Mashiach comes, and Rome tries to play buddy-buddy all of a sudden. Oh, yeah, we're cousins. So Hashem's going to send the Malach Gavriel back, so to speak. And the Malach Gavriel is going to rebuke the what? The Chayas Kona, the beast of the reed, which is a reference to Esav and to Rome. Lekach Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, top of the left column, Ga'ar Chayas Kona, rebuke, right? Ga'ar, break, destroy the Chayas Kona, v'yovedu, and then there'll be go on forever. V'chein matzati achar kach bizar. So the Malach Gavriel is the one who punishes Klal Yisrael when we, unfortunately, when we stray, but also comes to punish Rome at the end of days. Okay. So now we have to learn a little bit about letters. Okay? Let's shift gears for a second. Says the Gra in the next paragraph. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, why is the letter Kuf the way that it is? Or the Gemara's actual question, my time a shikra lokai. Why does falsehood not last? Why do people who tell lies get busted? Maybe you get away with it for a while, but eventually you get caught. People get caught. So what's the reason shikra lokai? Why does sheker not stand? Why does it not last? Answers the Gemara, sheker ein lo raglayim. Sheker has no feet. If you look at the letters shin, kuf, and resh, shin, maybe, well, it depends how you draw it. If you draw shin with like a little bit of a base on the bottom, it can stand. If you draw it with a point, right, it's going to topple over. A kuf, also. The letter looks like it's going to top heavy. It's going to fall over. A resh, also. A resh is going to fall on its face. As opposed to the letters MS, aleph, mem, and tuf, where each letter has two legs and it's stable. It's balanced. So sheker ain't lo raglayim. Sheker has no feet. And we've explained, it's explained that it stands achad kara on one leg, kara means a leg, on one leg of the kuf, sheyored lamata, that dips down below. So it looks like it's going to fall over. Now the Gemara says the Gra, when it darshens all the letters, when it goes through the letters, what daf is that in Masechta Shabbos? Who remembers? Who remembers the code? Remember the code? Kuf Dalet, that's right, that's the code, Kuf Dalet. Very good. Daf Kuf Dalet, that's the code when all the letters are darshaned. Some of us learned it in Ish Kodesh this week. So it says, Kuf Kadosh Resh Rasha. Kuf is a holy letter, and Resh is a Rasha. That's what it says in the Gemara. But the Zohar says different. The Zohar says, no, Kuf is not holy at all. Kuf actually pretends to be holy, like a Kof. What's a Kof? A monkey. It mimics Kedusha. But the Zohar says, as he's about to write, in Bereishis, the Zohar says that Kuf Reish, about the Zohar, Parshas Bereishis, cause of the Kuf Reish, hein osios de ischaziu al sitra bisha. These are letters that were seized by the side of Tumah, the side of unholiness. Okay? Kobe, you had a question?
No, was the code... Code?
Code, Kuf Dalet, yeah. Okay. That's how you remember where it is. To remember where this Gemara is. The code is Kuf Dalet, code. That's the code, to remember where the Gemara goes through all the letters. And how do you remember it's Masechta Shabbos? I don't know, because it is. Shabbos. Shabbos Kuf Dalet.
Shabbos Kodesh.
Shabbos Kodesh, there you go. Okay, good. Okay? All right, so Kuf and Resh, the Shin, the Gra says, well, the Shin maybe is a letter that has a little bit of holiness, right? We mentioned in the past how the Shin corresponds, the three prongs of the Shin could correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's why the Rasha at the Seder, what do we do to the Rasha? Hake Eshinov, knock out his Shin. If you knock out the Shin of the Rasha, you're pulling out the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov inside of him, and you're leaving behind what letters of the Rasha? The Resh and Ayin, which is the Ra. And you're pulling out the good. So too, in the word Sheker, the Shin is a little bit of good, and that's why it says that, the Gemara says, any lie that's going to even get off the ground has to have a little truth at the beginning. That's the shin that begins the word sheker, but then it's all kufresh. It's all sitra acher after that. It's all evil after that. Okay? Turn to the top of the next page. Page pay. So says the Gra, so let's talk about this kuf and this resh. Let's try to understand a little more about this mysterious kuf and resh. So he says, again, the Gemara told us Kuf Resh is Kedusha and Rasha. But the Gemara, the Zohar says Kuf and Resh are both bad letters. So says the Gra, the Inyan Kuf Resh, Resh hu Rasha. Okay, so that's like we said. The Kuf hu Satan hu Yetzirah. The Kuf is the letter of the Satan and the Yetzirah. Kamo Sha'aru Kama Palin Bezohar. Shukof vifnei Adam, like a monkey compared to a person. Right? It's almost like, you know, you think about sometimes how the most wicked people are sometimes so good at presenting themselves as being so, you know, Hitler Yimach Shmo was a tremendous orator. Gemara says about Haman, no one knew how to speak Lashon Hara like Haman. Amalek. Amalek was very good at presenting themselves. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, were on the one hand a very civilized, in quotations, people, a very cultured people. And yet, in truth, it's kof b'fnei adam. They're like an animal compared to a person. Okay? Okay. So now, the letter kof is the letter of the Sitra Achra. Okay. Go to the last two lines on page pay. We're flying tonight. We're going very fast. Okay, so let's talk now about the letter hey.
Where are you flying to?
We're flying, actually, let's fly to the second to last paragraph on page pay, the left column, Va'inyan. Va'inyan, ki hey moral shlitas ha-kedusha, shenasis hey. The letter hey is the letter of kedusha, and the letter kuf, we just said, is the letter of tumah. Now, hey and kuf are very similar. Right? Those of us who learned together in the morning, when we had our shir on Dalet and Resh, before Purim, right, we also spoke about well, the B'nai Yisasar, kuf and hey. What month is the letter hey? Every month has a letter. What month is associated with the letter hey? Nisan. What month is associated with the letter kuf? Adar. Nisan is the beginning of the year. Adar is the very end of the year. Nisan is HaKadosh Baruch Hu displaying himself as king of the world. Adar is Ahasuerus thinking that he's the king of 127 provinces. He's a kof. He's a monkey. Ahasuerus is easily manipulated. The Gemara says he's a melech hafachfachan. He always changes his mind. Everyone's playing games with him. The letter hey is a letter of Kedusha. The letter kuf is a letter of Sitra Achra. Okay? Now we get to really the main part of our sugya. What does it mean, going back to Rabbi Yeshua and the sages, the philosophers of Athens? So they said, look, we came to Eretz Yisrael and we spread out. It's a sign. Why would Hashem invite us in if we're not worth our damage? So he says, I'll give you an example of something that's not worth the damage. When you try to spread out a rug and you try to get it through a door, you have to break the door to get it in. On the surface, that sounds ridiculous. Why would I break a hole in my house to get the rug through the door? But obviously, the Pneumius, somehow, if that's how Hashem made it happen, Hashem put the Romans in Eretz Yisrael to bring us to Tshuva, to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, that must be part of the master plan. So watch this. What do we know about the letter hey? This is one of the most important Gemaras. The Gemara says in Menachos, the last two lines on page pay. Va'inyan kamosha amru b'menachos. The Gemara in Menachos on Daf Chavtes tells us the secret of tshuva. Okay? Because that's what this sugya is about. Why did Rome come to power? To bring us to do tshuva, to come back to Eretz Yisrael as better Jews. I got you. After 2,000 years of galus, we come back to Eretz Yisrael, greatly improved. Okay? So what's the sugya of hey? So the Gemara in Menachos says, "Mipnei ma nivra ha'olam hazeh behei." Why was this world created with the letter hey? The Gemara says that Olam Haba was created with the letter yud, and Olam hazeh was created with the letter hey. Why is this world created with the letter hey? Says the Gemara, continuing on the top of the next page, "Mipnei shedoma la'achsadra," because this world is like what? This world is like a porch, which is enclosed on three sides, and it's open on one side. That's where you get in and out. The letter hey, essentially, right, closed on three sides. Now you'll tell me, well, hold on, there's a little opening on the top of the hay. We're going to get to that little opening on the top of the hay. But essentially, the letter hey, right, is closed on three sides, and it's wide open on the bottom. That's like the world. What does it mean, that's like the world? How is that like the world? Says the Gemara, top line on page Pei Aleph, Shekol HaRotza Letzeis, that anyone who wants to go out, Yetzei, can go out. You want to go off the derech? No lightning bolt is going to strike you down. You don't want to be a yid? Throw off your yarmulke, throw off your tzitzis, stop wearing tefillin, don't keep Shabbos. If you want to go out, it's very easy to fall out the bottom. Right? And the gravitational pull, like the name of Nachal, like the Ger Rebbe said, the gravitational pull of this world is such that what? That we're always being pulled down. And that's where the opening is, right? Sheol tachtis. Mamish, the depths of hell. It's easy to fall away. If you want to fall away, it's easy to fall away. However, says the Gemara, in Menachos, my taima talya kara dehe, But if you're paying attention, you'll notice. If you're looking for a door, you'll notice there's a little door on the top. Right? There's a little door on the top by the hay. So why is it that the leg of the hay, Kar, I told you his leg. What is the reason that the leg of the hay is talia, is hanging? Why is it not fully attached? Why is there a little opening? Dihodar b'tshuva ma'ayla lay. Because if you want to do tshuva, you can go up and you can go in over there. You can get back in. You can sneak in the side door. So the Gemara says, v'le'ayle b'hach. Why can't I just go back in where I came out? There's a big wide open door on the bottom. Why do I have to sneak around the side and climb through the little opening? Why can't I just go right back in through the bottom? The Gemara says, lo mistaya milsa. It's not going to work. Don't try. Don't try to go back through the same door. You're going to end up in the same trouble. Maybe when Mashiach comes, we'll go through that door, as we'll see in a second. But for now, you got to find a different mahalach. You got to find a different path. I know what you're going to say. Say it.
What does it mean to go through that door?
What does it mean to go through this door?
Like,
to the bottom?
Go to the opposite direction.
Well, I thought you were going to say, the Rambam says, tshuva gemura is dafka being in the same place and getting it right. Right? Meaning like part of the tshuva process should dafka be, I'm going to go back into that same place and I'm going to do it right this time. I'm not going to fall apart. But the Gemara is saying sometimes the Yid has to find a different etzah. Sometimes it's not about trying to figure out how to hang out with the old chevra in a new way. It's about finding a new chevra. Sometimes, right? Ideally, I wish I could sometimes be in the same place and not. But unfortunately, the same way it's easy to get back in through the bottom because it's wide open. And we'll see. We're going to see right now how it's not so easy to get back in through the bottom. Can anyone tell me why? Who's the nemesis of the letter hay? We said the letter? Letter kuf is the arch nemesis of the letter hay. What happens is when you fall out the bottom and you start to wander off, you know what happens? The door slams. The letter kuf, the leg of the hay becomes a kuf, and you get locked from the outside. You can't even get back to that. So you're forced to find another entrance point. The leg of the kuf comes down and locks you out from even going that way. Okay? All right, but let's see. Let's go slow, yeah.
That Rambam that you just referenced, that saying, is it saying that you should dafka go to that situation again, or is it if you
right,
find
that's
yourself
a big,
in that?
That's a big question.
Doesn't the Rambam say
there's a teaching from the Baal Shem Tov that's very controversial and very deep about should one put himself in that situation to prove that he's done tshuva gemura, or, no, God forbid. And the Rambam says, right, when you're in that same place, in that same situation, with that same temptation, and you get it right the second time, it's if you ended up in that situation. You shouldn't put yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take a risk to put yourself in that situation and go
but
back
if you say
to
it's that way, then it's like, then you haven't officially done any tshuva till it happened.
Right. Right. Which is why maybe you want to go and prove I can be in that situation. But it's tricky. What does that mean? I should go into... Sometimes the situation is itself inappropriate, right? That's how the Avera began. Yeah.
I don't have it formulated about yet.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's see a little more. Okay, so that's the Gemara Menachah. It's an amazing Gemara, no? The letter Hey represents all of this world. You fall out the bottom, but you can climb back in through the side. Okay. So now...
Wouldn't it just be like a simple shot to just say like the Yates or Hara is going to rack you if you try to go back?
Why?
I'm saying like just... from a basic level of just going through something that you already went through
and failed.
Then like
it's a lot of
you can have all the confidence in the world, but like you're still like even the biggest tzaddik isn't like a match for like the Yetzer Hara in that situation.
Yeah, but I don't know. Hopefully, you built yourself. I mean, again, the time you spent when you were on the out, hopefully, you know, you reflected on how I fell apart, and you're willing to give it another shot. But yeah, again, part of the Gemara's punchline is. Find a different darach. Try a different door. Right? Don't necessarily confront the Yetzer Hara head on. Learn how to sidestep it.
The end goal is the same.
And you end up back on top.
Right.
You actually end up at a higher entrance. Right?
Right.
The side of the head is the higher entrance, we'll see. Let's just see the next paragraph. Let's just... Va'inyan she'amru lo mistayi milsa le'ayo b'pesach shalamata. So that which the Gemara said, it's not going to work to enter through the opening on the bottom. Since you turn the hay into a kuf, when you go out, you kind of bring down that leg of the hay, it turns into a kuf, which as we said is Yetzer Hara. Ha-resh, because the letter after kuf is resh. So when you kuf, after kuf, resh, after Yetzirah comes Rasha. Yetzirah makes you into Rasha. Sha-kuf hu rodev acher ha-resh, right? The Yetzirah chases after the wickedness within us. V'kevan shechote nimtach regal ha-hei v'nasa kuf. So you could have been a hey, you could have been the realm of Kedusha, but the Yetzirah, right, stretched you out. Like the Pasuk in Mishlei says, he quotes it elsewhere, Ragleha Yardos Mavis, the feet, her feet drag you down. And the hay becomes a kuf, and then you become a resh, and then you can't get back in. So what do you have to do? You have to find a different door. And he says, and that's the difference between the hay and the kuf. That the kuf is just a hay with a long leg. Okay? But the kuf, and this is something the Gra says here, he hints to very subtly, the kuf, even though the kuf locks you out, so to speak, like the hay, the kuf what? Has that little opening on top. In a sense, the Yetzer Hara, a beautiful way to look at the Yetzer Hara, for all the trouble he gives me, he's really a malach. Yetzer Hara is a malach Hashem. A malach Hashem whose job is to make my life hell, and to try to ruin me, and to try to drag me down, to try to destroy my soul, and to send me to Gehenna. That's his job. That's his paid position. But really, when I do Averos, every Avera creates, every time the Yetzer Hara gets me, it creates the possibility of what? Tshuva. So the kuf itself also, like the hay, right, is hinting to me, psst, 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 try the upper door. Go around the side. I'll let you in the back. Right? You can get to a higher place. Not that we want to do averos. Let's be careful what we're saying here. We don't want to do averos. But every time we end up at the kuf, at the Yetzihara, and we turn into a resh, we turn into a rasha, right, the Yetzihara itself is hinting to us, go find that little door on top. And then the Gra concludes the paragraph by saying, La'asid lavo, in the end of days, we're going to have the tools that we need to, so to speak, break through this blockage, this leg of the kuf, and then to come back in through the bottom. I mean, one day we'll have, like Jack said before, one person has the confidence to think he's going to get back in through the door that the Yitzhar knocked him out and slammed the door and locked him out. Right? So the Gra says, when Mashiach comes, la'asid lavo, we're going to be able to break the leg of the kuf, come right back in through the bottom of that hay that we fell out before it became a kuf. But for now, that's not the derech.
So you go from the top.
Now we have to go through the side. Now we have to go through the side. I said, love, we'll smash the leg, we'll come back in through the bottom.
Where do we leave from, though? To re-enter.
Oh, you're saying...
Let's say we came back in over here. Yeah.
Okay, so now we're in such a high place. Eventually, we'll come back down, we'll swing back around, and we'll... Yeah, we'll...
Okay, I don't know. You need a lot of visuals to paint the picture. Okay?
And he says, the Gra says, the bottom paragraph of the right column on Pei Aleph, V'zeh sha'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Pischuli Pesach, or Pischuli, make me an opening, Kechuda shel machat. Make me an opening the size of an eye of a needle. In other words, Hashem says, find the small opening. Everyone wants to find, you know, the big opening. Right? You have to be a person who's observant, who's paying attention, who finds that little crack and says, oh, I can get in over here. Find those little points of entry to Hashem. And if you can find that small entrance, in other words, if we can do our avodah to do tshuva through the side right now, says the Medrash, quoting a Medrash, Ani eftach lechem pesach, shiyavru gamalim v'kronos. Hashem says, then I'll make an opening so big that you'll be able to ride through on a camel with large wagons. In other words, says the Gra, top of the left column, Ratz Lomar, Shichantu b'chut hatluya regel hakuf k'chut shomachat. For now, we go through that small little crack of an opening at the top of the kuf, right, which is really the top of the hay as well. Va'ani eftach lechem milamata, and then eventually Hashem says, I'll open it up for you from the bottom. Namely, she'etva regel hakuf, you'll be able to break the leg of the kuf, and you'll be able to go in through the bottom. Like the Gemara says, that's not for now. For now, that's not our derech. Now we go in through the side. Left. Why do we go left? Interesting. That's an interesting question. All right. We go off to the left.
The left is associated with...
Yeah, we went out. That's how we go. We strayed. But even on the left side, that's where the opening is. That's right. Even
isn't
on the
just
side
how
of...
time moves with the letters? Because that's how we read it?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's part of the question. Why are Hebrew letters... you know, read from right to left. Interesting. Interesting. Okay? Now, let's go a little further. This outstretched leg of the kuf reminds us of another outstretched leg. Who stretches out the legs, or the hooves, I should say, and says, look at me, look at me. The pig, the chazir. Right? We know that the pig is not a kosher animal. It stretches out its hooves and says, look, I have split hooves. And we say, yeah, but you don't chew your cud. What does that mean? Says the Gra in the next paragraph, V'inina kuf hu esav. The kuf, which we said is associated with Yetzer Hara and Satan, etc., is esav. Sheposhe talafav. He stretches out his hooves. Umare simanei tara and says, look how pure I am. V'chein b'yetzer hara. Yetzer Hara also has all sorts of deceptive ways to make things not a big deal. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara even tells you an aveira is a mitzvah. V'chein b'yetzer hara shemare simanei tara la'adam ve'ino v'niach l'shuv. Yetzer Hara tries to convince a person, you're not such a bad guy, you don't need to do so much tshuva. Right? Yetzer Hara tries to paint the picture that everything's good, it's all good. Just lie on your back in the mud, feet up, put your feet up and relax. You're good enough. It's fine. You have split hooves. Right? We're going to see the split hooves, as opposed to chewing your cud, outside versus inside. The danger of being a Jew who on the outside looks like a good Jew, but on the inside is Tameh. That's the pig. Pig on the outside, look how good I am. Right? That's Esav, coming at the end of the day, is trying to bring a present to Mashiach. Look, look. That's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. At the end of days, right? Rome says, look, we did all these things to help the Jewish people learn Torah. And Hashem's going to say, Shotim, you fools. You fools, how dare you claim such a thing? It's not true. You present yourself sometimes as very fine, moral, ethical people, right? But on the inside, the whole thing is rotten. So it says the Gra, the Inyan Pshitas Hatzlafayim, the Inyan of stretching out the hooves, Ki Inyan Simanei Tara, Shnei Simanei, there's two signs of a kosher animal, Ma'ala Geira, it chews its cud, Mifareses Parsa, and it has split hooves, Va'inyan Kamosha Kaswa Kadmonim, and the idea can be explained as explained by the Kedmonim, the Ramban in particular, explains this idea. Ki ba'of amru, regarding birds, it says, kol of hadores tameh, a bird that what? A bird of prey is not a kosher animal. Not a kosher bird. Why? Va'inyin ki me'achilas hadavar kefi davar ha'maychal kenya teva ha'ochel. The nature of what one eats, what you eat, you are what you eat, basically, right? If you eat an animal or a bird that's a bird of prey, that's always hunting, looking for more, so then that's going to have a bad effect on your soul. Ki aver machzik aver, because what you eat corresponds to your body. The limbs correspond to the limbs. V'zeso nefesh ha'bahamis sheba'adam v'nefesh ha'chotas v'sora karbanos ki adu. This is what the Ramban famously explains about karbanos. That when you bring a carbon, you're supposed to think, this animal, he's replacing me. I should be on the Mizbeach, burning for my Averis. My limbs should be the ones being offered as a carbon. Right? So the animal and the person have a relationship. And what you eat is going to affect your nature. You're going to receive of the nature of that beast. Let me just finish this line. Okay, turning the page. V'chol ha'averos v'achatayim ha'kol michemda. And a bird of prey is always what? Always wants more. Remember the difference between Yaakov and Esau? What do they say? Yaakov says, Yesh li kol. I have everything. I have everything I need. What does Esau say? Yesh li rav. I have a lot, but not everything. I always want more. I always desire more. Chever, the Gra says something here. You got to know this line. It's a very powerful line. The Gra says, all averos and all sin. It all comes from chemda. All comes from desire, wanting more, never being satisfied. And when you're chasing taivas olam hazeh, you'll never be satisfied. You'll want more money, and you want more pleasure, and you want more taiva, and you'll never be satisfied. And you'll keep upping the ante. You'll do more drugs, you'll sleep with more people, and you'll get more and more caught up in that craziness, that lo aleinu, v'lo aleichem, people who live without a moral compass, chase and chase and chase, and it's a dead end. It's like drinking salt water. It makes you more thirsty. It doesn't satisfy you. And therefore, says the girl, look at this line. Unbelievable. Oren, this was our conversation earlier this week. Oren asked me, we're on top of page Pei Beis, second line. Lo Sachmod is the last of the Ten Commandments. So Oren and I were talking, why did Hashem give us a Seres Dibros? Why is he highlighting certain mitzvos to the exclusion of other mitzvos, as if to say, what, these mitzvos are more important than other mitzvos? How does that work? I don't know. But if the Ten Commandments are somehow a microcosm of Kol HaTorah Kula, which they are, according to Rashi and Parshas Mishpatim, that means the last one is sort of the kli, the vessel that they all kind of filter into. It catches all of them. It's Kol El all of them. Right? It contains all of them. The last of the Ten Commandments. Lo Sachma, don't be jealous. He writes here in one of the footnotes from Rabbeinu Bachaya, he says, because if you're jealous, you undermine the first of the Ten Commandments, which is what? I am Hashem, your God. Do you really believe that everything you have is from Hashem? If you do, why are you chasing other people's things? Why are you jealous of someone else's life? Why do you want to drive the car that guy's driving, or marry the girl that guy's marrying, or have the parnassa that this guy's having, or even know shas the way that guy's having? Why aren't you being true to yourself? You're rejecting the fact that Hashem runs the world. And you're chasing, and you're chasing, and you're chasing. So he says here, Lo Sachmod contains all of the Aseres HaDibros, in other words, it contains Kol HaTorah Kula. There's an idea that the Ten Commandments correspond to the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, which means that Lo Sachmod is Keneged Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day where I don't want to be anyone other than myself. It's a very deep idea. So therefore, don't eat a bird that's a bird of prey, always wants more. That was Ace of the Hunter, right? Ace of the Pillager, the opposite of his stopkos, the opposite of being mistopic, b'muad, of being happy with what you have. Ezu Asher Samech Bechelko, that's the world of Yaakov Avinu. The world of Esav is wanting more and more and more and more and more. So in the animal kingdom, like in the bird kingdom, what does it mean to chew your cud? Says the Gra in the next paragraph, V'chein hu bebehema, simon ma'ale geira. If you chew your cud, that means what? I'm happy eating the same meal over and over again. I don't always need new tastes and new pleasures, you know? I don't always need something new. We don't need to make more kosher Pesach products. We have enough. We're good. Yeah, but maybe one more dip, you know? Because I'm not a spicy jalapeno guy, and I'm not a mild. I need like something in between mild and spicy, you know? We're crazy. We've lost our minds. That's Esav. Malagera, chew the same meal again. Chew the same meal. Okay, maybe you don't have to be like Rav Chaim Kanievsky. You don't have to have literally the same Shabbos meal every Shabbos. Okay, it could be a little more expansive. You don't need to like, you know, join like foodie groups on Instagram or whatever. Like, enough. Just relax. It's crazy. That's not a sign of a kosher animal. A kosher animal chews its cud. Right? It's not a bird of prey that's always looking for something else. That's the world of Esav. That's what Malagera is. Malagera, he says, go to the left column, the last paragraph on page Pei Beis. Vizeo Malagera, shehimidas mezono b'tzimtzum la'ani b'yom echad. Malagera is like a poor person who has his food for the day. It's like eating the man. It's, yeah, I'm skipping around. I'm skipping around a lot. Okay? It's like a person who's happy. He's happy with what he has. I'm still trying to make it to 9 o'clock tomorrow. Awesome. Okay, let's go to the next page. Okay? So now, we have the outstretched hooves. Look how kosher I am. Right? But if you're not Malagera, if in the inside you're not able to be happy with who you are and what you have, so you have nothing, then your life is all one of chemda, and Lo Sachmod is the all-encompassing failure of Torah, because that means you don't believe that God runs your life. Hashem, why'd you make this guy better looking than me? Hashem, why'd you make this guy smarter than me? Hashem, why'd you give this guy better parents than me? Hashem, why'd you this? Why'd you that? You're a kofar. You're not bikaris. You undermine the whole Torah. So now, one last gemara that we need. Okay? It says the Gra, the paragraph that begins with Amru on page Pei Gimel, the right-hand column. The gemara says in Maseches Yoma, Bayis Rishon versus Bayis Sheni. Who's better? Who's worse? Rishonam Adife or Achronam Adife? Right? Chaver, what happened during Bayis Rishon? During Bayis Rishon versus Bayis Sheni. Bayis Rishon, apparently, Even though we lost the Beis HaMikdash, we got it back 70 years later. By Yesheni, we've been sitting here for 2,000 years of Galus. What were the people like in Bayis Rishon? What were they like in Bayis Sheni? Let's focus on Bayis Sheni for a second. Bayis Sheni was a time period, the Gemara says that what? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is the Haftal Lerecha Kamocha. It's a feeling of the, it's a hergish, it's a feeling on the inside. In other words, during Bayis Sheni, it could be that there were Jews who were learning and the Jews were davening, but there was something broken on the inside, that inner connection that all Jews have with each other. On the outside, every person in this room is different. Every one of us is different. On the inside, the Shorish Neshama is exactly the same. So Sinas Chinam means we're broken on the inside. The fourth and final Galus, the Galus of Edom, is the Galus of Esav, is the Galus of the pig, where we can look for on the outside, right? But there's still terrible hatred, there's still negative feelings that we have towards each other in our hearts, which is why we haven't had a Beis HaMikdash in 2,000 years. Okay? So says the Gra, let's read inside quickly. The Gemara asks the question. Were the first ones better or were the second ones better? The first ones are better. And the Gemara says, the later generation was better because they studied Torah. Says the Gra, Va'inyan. Ki Rishonim shenisgala avonim nisgala kitzim. The original ones, right? The first generation, Bayis Rishon, their sins were revealed, and the Kates was revealed. They were told, 70 years from now, we're going to have another Beis HaMikdash. But Achronim, the second Beis HaMikdash, where the negativity, their bad trait was hidden inside of themselves, so the time for the Gula is also hidden from us. Achronim Shalol Nizgala Avonim, where the sin was concealed, Lo Nizgala Kitzam. The Kates is also not revealed. We don't know when this is going to end.
The Gra says, because the Rishonim, their good deeds were hidden inside of themselves, and their Averos were on the surface. But you know what? Libam Hayatov, says the Gra. Their hearts were good. Top line on left column. But in Bayis Sheni, we were very nice and good looking on the outside, but we were missing the core, which is what? What's happening on the inside? Rachmana liba bai, quoting the Gemara, paraphrasing the Gemara. In Sanhedrin Daf Kuvav, Kodesh Baruch Hu desires the hearts. So you could be the firmest guy on the outside, but if you've got the bad feelings in your heart, that we're sitting here in Gullus and nothing's going to change. Last paragraph on Pei Gimel. Va'amr, Rishonim Shahayabam Avodah Zara, Gilei Arayos, and Shvichas Damim, El Shetalu Bitchonim Ba'Kodesh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, they were really, really bad on the outside. But they were ma'aminim, they had bitachon in their hearts. Nimtza ki ma'aseihem ra ma'od. Shekulan be'yarag val yavr. They had big averos, really big averos. Averos chamuros shebetorah. V'libam hayatov ma'od. But you have to appreciate for what it's worth that their heart was in a good place. Shemales habitachon al kulam. Because bitachon in a certain sense, anochi Hashem Elokecha leads the way. It's the first of the Ten Commandments. It's also all-encompassing. And lo sachma, the last of the Ten Commandments, is also all-encompassing. But the Achronim, he says, they were Osik b'Torah, u'b'gemilas chasadim, u'mipnei macharva, u'mipnei sinas chinam. They were so good on the outside, but there was such a negativity, such a hatred on the inside. They were so badly lacking in v'hafta l'reacha kamocha. Turn to the last page. And because of that, we're still sitting in Galus. So therefore, v'lachein, Rishonim, Heglu b'shalosh malchios shesimen tar shalhem mibefnim. So the first three exiles of Jewish history, Bavel and Madai and Yavan, which we're calling chapter one, right, correspond to what? Correspond to animals that what? That chew their cud and don't have the split hooves. Ba'achroinim begalus Edom, but this final galus, the galus of the pig. The gullus of a world where everyone is, I don't get in trouble, but like almost annoying about how good we're trying to be and how righteous, how self-righteous we are in society today, and yet how broken the world is. That's the world of the pig. Where we try to make everyone feel comfortable on the surface when there's such hatred and destruction, right, in the core. So the achronim begullus edom shnim shel lechazir shu behefech. The final gullus is the opposite. Poshe talafav laharos imanei tara. Look how pure and holy I am, right? But in the heart, it's all broken. So now let's just finish the piece. Bottom of the right hand column. Nimtza. Ki begolus hazeh Esav poshet telafav. So in this golus, Esav extends its hooves. The hooves are the regel hakuf. It's the leg of the kuf that comes down. The Yitzhara locks us out. And we can't get back in the big door through the bottom of the hay. Ve'eino maniach beraglo ha'hei lichones. We're not able to get back in. However, what happens? What happens? The budya is sasa letara. The budya, the reed mat, when you unroll the mat, right? When you take the hay, the leg of the hay, and you unroll it, you roll it down, it becomes a kuf. And now it blocks the door. You can't get through the door. I can't do tshuva, it looks like. That's what the Yitzhara tries to convince us. The Pesach ha'hei. V'yesh lanu tikva. But we have hope. Lichanes bePesach Chatan shall tliyas hay. We can get through the what? Through the opening of the suspended hay, which again, even when it's hanging down as a kuf and the Yitzhar is staring you in the face, you still have to find. Even the kuf has that little opening. That's the secret. That little opening on top. Shigama kuf maniach. Even the kuf leaves that little opening. The Yitzhara ino maniach lashuv. The Yitzhara tries to give in to you. Look, you fell out the bottom and there's no getting back. But a Jew has to be creative and find that opening on the side. You have to be careful that what? What's the difference between matzah and chametz? They both have a mem, they both have a tzadi, but one has a hay, one has a ches. What is a ches? A ches is what? And you don't have that little opening when that door closes up. And the Yitzhara tries to convince you, it's chametz, that you're chametz, and there's no hope for you. V'zeo sha'amru b'zohar, that's what it says in the Zohar. The Sitra Achra, Ikaran b'shtei osios elu, the Zohar says the two main letters of the Sitra Achra are ches and kuf. Kuf slams the door and locks you out, and then Ches tries to close up the top, so that there's no hope for you. And he concludes by saying, and this is the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Zayin, Vizesh Amru, last two paragraphs. Ribona Olam, Master of the Universe, Goloi V'yadua, Hashem, you know I want to be a good Jew. What gets in the way? Chometz, Seor Shabi'isa, Shehu Yetzahara, there's chometz in my heart. The Ches, Shesose Mehe, it's the letter Ches that tries to close that little window of hope. V'shibud malchios, and the fact that I'm still living in exile under Esav, the regel hakuf, the Yitzhar who tries to convince me there's no hope for you. Right? He tries to convince you, you'll never get back through the bottom. And then I try to run quickly to get through the top, and the ches tries to close that little top window so I can't even get back in. But Hashem, I want so badly to return to you. So therefore, yihi ratzon shetachzor me'aleinu v'nashuv la'asos ritzoncha b'lev avshalim v'oz yasehei hinei hinam. We hope that one day we'll be able to break that leg, not only get in through that little opening on top, but to come all the way back through the bottom and return wholly to Hashem. So the answer to the sages of Athens, you think that you're blocking the door, you're actually helping us to widen the door. And even on the surface, widening the door is not worth it, because who wants to do averus to begin with? But we come back to Tshuva Gemura, we bring the Gula Shlema.
Okay. How do we connect that to this breaking down the doorway, though?
What do you mean?
We
break the. We're widening the door. We're making a new opening. That's the little opening of the hay.
No,
we never knew we had this opening. When we were living originally in the hay, we were swimming in the middle.
You're saying that we're in the gullus of.
Once we fell out and walked away, now we got to get here before it becomes a ches.
We're not breaking anything down. The opening is there.
No, but eventually, it's true. But this is this is. You're saying the opening of the hay was always there.
The opening of the kuf even was always there.
Right. So well, that's what Tshuva preceded the world.
But I'm saying, are we connecting it to the ches that it closes? It's a combination of a ches and a kuf. So it's just.
Yeah, but you never noticed that opening. So in a sense, the aver creates the opening.